It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. So have you done yoga today?
Not today.
Are you going to do yoga today?
Sure I am. 4 o'clock with my girl, Christina.
That's right. And so I'm always kind of, if you've listened to this podcast, I feel like I could introduce you, but why? You can introduce yourself because you know yourself better than I do.
I'm a big girl.
You're a big girl. And first of all, to those of you listening, I love this girl, woman. She's amazing. She's a boss. And I'm thrilled that you came on my podcast today, especially since I called you like 2 hours ago. And I'm like, someone fell through. Can you come?
I got you.
You got me.
So
without further ado.
My name is Janessa White. I am the CEO of Simply Eloped, which is headquartered here in Boise. But we do elopements all around the nation. I'm a native Boisean. I don't know if that's appropriate, but I was born and raised in Boise, and I'm an Idaho enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so fortunate to have Miss Christina in my life as one of my closest friends.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And we go way back.
Sure do.
I first met you when I got hired on at Square, which is a great restaurant.
2005.
It used to be a McDonald's.
Yep.
Those of you Boiseans who know what we're talking about.
Only McDonald's I've ever seen close in my life.
Right?
Yeah.
And now it is Tap House today.
Yep. I miss Square.
So I got hired as a server, my first serving job. I think I made it a month.
I'm still mad that you got fired because you would have been great.
And in all fairness, I've reflected on this and meditated on this. And I was like, was it really my fault? It was not my fault.
It wasn't. Nope.
But the training I did have, which was with you, was phenomenal. And to this day, every time I light a candle, I hear your voice in my head say, we're now setting the ambience. We're creating the ambience.
Oh, jeez. Janessa circa 2005. Took herself so seriously.
I think you were being cute.
Okay, good.
And so then fast forward several years, you come into my yoga class and we're like, hey, I remember you.
Yep. And then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how did you get into yoga?
Yeah. So I don't know. Back in college, I did do the Bikram when it was off of
Federal Way.
Federal Way. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I liked it, but it was definitely really an intimidating experience. I mean, 90 minutes is a long time. I'll never forget this story. I took my mom because I was like, Mom, there's this thing. You should do it with me. And my mom is just so herself, and she hated the entire experience. And so instead of like following the guidelines of like, shh, she was just laughing and talking to me the whole time.
Yes.
She just thought that.
Were you embarrassed?
Oh, yeah. Of course I was. I was like a vapid rule follower. And so my mom just like giggling and making faces at me and like looking so miserable. I was like, Mom, I'm never taking you to yoga ever again. So I did that for a while. And then, you know, I mean, in college, you don't have the money for it. Like, it's hard to go regularly. So I kind of dropped off. And then when I was working at State and Lemp, Michelle Kwok,
yes.
I worked with her. And she was a regular at Hollywood. And she's like, you should go with me. It'll be like hashtag girl bonding. And I went and I was like, I love this. But again, I couldn't afford regularly. So I was spotty. And then right before COVID hit, I did your guys' challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I accomplished it. And it's such a great business model thing to do because especially for someone like me who's A-type and like I'm like, I will do it. I'm so competitive with myself. I did it and I was shocked at the benefits, like how I felt afterwards. I was so proud of myself that I accomplished it. You know, I felt like I could do anything after I did that, the 30 and 40 challenge. And then I was hooked. And so what's hilarious is I was hooked and then COVID happened and y'all shut the studio down. And I was like, why? So I did a couple of the virtual and then I was actually one of the ones that as soon as you opened the studio back up, I was there with the little stickers and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I've been going really regularly ever since.
Mm-hmm. I remember you saying to me that your partner at the time noticed physical changes in your body that you
yep.
didn't even notice.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. and I can still see it now. Like, I'm out hilariously. So I do the massages there at the studio as well. And Christina had a conversation with my masseuse where she was like, we're working on her upper strength, so be aware of that when you're massaging her. We are working on my upper strength, but I can tell, like, my body is so much happier. And I've had a lot of trauma in my life, like accidents and stuff like that. And I have a high pain tolerance, so I just have lived with the pain.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm just one of those people that's just like, I'm always a little bit under pain. And between regular chiropractic now and then regular yoga, zero pain.
It's your neck? Miracle.
Yeah, it's all over. Like, I have a rib that loves to pop out. Bad neck. You know, and the funny thing about your spine and your neck is that it impacts the rest of your body. And mm-hmm. So my left side's always, like, off kilter. My right side's always, like, compensating for it. But yeah, I go to a chiropractor 3 times a week and I try to do yoga, 5 times a week. And between those two things, I'm at zero pain level most times.
You're getting a massage maybe once a month. Massages.
Yeah. Yeah. So my self care game is on fleek right now.
When did you make self care a priority?
Well, I would say when I did that challenge, and then truthfully, I'll be quite frank with you all. During COVID, I really laid heavily into that wine. I was like drinking and playing video games because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So I definitely gained a lot of weight during COVID, which I think a lot of people did. And so after that, I definitely was like, I think I want to really focus on my health.
What was it for you that made you make that decision? Was it just the weight gain and the wine, or you're like, this is really good for me and I'm going to do it?
It was my honey saying something.
Your honey?
Yeah, my honey at the time.
Your partner made a comment?
He did.
Like, what did he say? How do you give a comment to your partner to inspire them to focus on self-care?
It was not an inspirational comment.
It wasn't.
We'll just leave it there.
Oh, okay. Well, he is no longer your partner. But at the end of the day, you chose to take care of yourself.
Totally. Yep.
And what are the benefits that you're seeing from that?
I mean, so many benefits. For starters, I just love my body better. And it has nothing to do with the shape of it or the strength of it or the flexibility of it. I just feel more in tune with what she is about and what she needs. On top of that, you and our friend Nick have been so wonderful in teaching me that yoga isn't just about the physical aspect. And so I've had some really energetic classes where I did feel my chakras, ripped open, and I've either cried or just let myself, feel the energy. I also definitely have learned how to rest. Because I'm a business owner and an A-type personality, I'm always kind of self-critical and pushing myself to be better. And especially this year after my breakup, I've really leaned heavy into the kind of self-love that isn't necessarily with a goal in mind to achieve anything. Like self-love just to
radical love. Self-love? Is that what you're talking about?
I guess I don't really know the definition of radical self-love, but in terms of
unconditional.
Unconditional love, mm-hmm. Yes. I definitely grew up with a father that was very conditional love, and I'm learning that I deserve to offer myself, self-love, whether it's manifesting in baths or yoga or whatever, just So I've always been really hard on myself and looking for perfection in my yoga practice.
Yes.
And y'all have been Nick said a comment one time that I think about to this day all the time, because we do taco nights and we were talking about our practices, and I think he just looked over at me and said, your practice looks so exhausting to me. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. And then he looks you in the eyes when he does that. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
And he didn't even, I don't even think he expanded. He was just it just looks really exhausting. And I really took that to heart. And I was like, why is it exhausting? And I was like, oh, because I'm constantly comparing myself to others. I'm constantly striving for perfection based on what the teacher is saying. And I go hard, I'm not listening to my body. I'm not paying attention to what my body actually needs. I'm literally just following instruction and comparing myself to others.
Wow. What a revelation. How was that for you to uncover?
Very
difficult to peel back the layers and be like, oh my gosh, why am I so hard on myself? Why am I constantly comparing myself to others? Why do I feel like I need to perform for, not perform for the teacher, but perform as a way of like the teacher is telling me what to do and I need to follow instruction.
Okay.
Yeah. So once I started unpacking all of these things and paying attention to like, well, what is my body capable of in this moment? What does my body? I just changed the questions and the intention. You guys talk about intentions all the time, but I never took it. The intention was always like, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do amazing. I'm going to do all of the poses.
I'm not going to take any breaks today.
Exactly. And so I didn't understand that aspect of it. And by him saying that to me and calling me out, quite honestly, it changed my entire practice. And so some days, as you know, I come in and I'm like, it's so funny. I have to be careful with my intention now, because if my intention is like peace, then my body's like, you're out, bitch.
What does that mean?
Well,
you're out. Like, you're going to take a nap.
You're going to take a nap. Yeah. Yeah. I have to be careful with my intention now. Or if it's like, you know, yeah, if I choose something that's like on the softer side, generally my body's like, you're really tired and you just need to lay down.
Sometimes my intention will be to lean into strength. And sometimes, because I'm feeling strong that day, maybe that's why I chose that intention. Other times, my intention is I just want to feel good. Mm-hmm. And so if we start doing a standing posture and I'm like, nope, I'll do the reclined version of that posture. And I'm like, yep.
I love that. Yeah, you guys have been really inspirational to me to just like, it's okay to rest. Like this hour is your hour. And I really embrace that. So it's been really amazing for me.
Do you have advice for it? First of all, thank you for sharing that. That was very vulnerable. And I love that we can have these conversations because I think it's incredibly relatable and so many people are working with that. Now, for someone like me, perhaps, who might be on the opposite end of that, or perhaps maybe I'm just self-critical as well, but sometimes I feel like, girl, you're resting too much. Maybe you could put a little more effort. What inspiration do we have for folks like me?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I think your body knows best. Mm. And if your body's asking you for rest, then I think that you need rest.
Okay.
And if you're like, well, but I know I need more yoga or more activity, then I would just go more frequently.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you're only going one day a week and your body's like, you need to rest, like, that's not going to benefit you as much. I think part of the reason why I can get away with it is because I go so frequently.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I do a lot of hiking. So I give myself other methods of movement that are, like, low impact. But truthfully, I do think that, like, everyone – I wish more people embrace, like, it's your hour. You don't need to perform for anyone. You don't need to do anything for anyone else. We're constantly pulled from all directions. And the gorgeousness of the studio and truthfully the gorgeousness of your teaching is that you make space. And I always tell you that's my favorite thing about you. Like,
thank you so much.
You make so much space for people to feel safe, comfortable, and to come as they are. And that is such a gift that you give.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's true.
I think as a yoga teacher, that's, what did you say? So we were recently at a yoga music festival and I was like, how was your yoga class? And you're like, well, how do I put this? The yoga teacher, how did you put it?
Like, I don't remember.
You're like, I could tell that the yoga teacher was thinking about herself when she was teaching that class.
Yeah.
Something like that.
She was very self-aware.
Very self-aware. So the way she was holding space was from a self-centered point of view.
Correct.
And what were you saying? She was using language like that was just really mostly talking about herself.
Yeah, I don't remember that piece, but I do remember the feeling that I felt, which is that she was on display. She was showing off. She was happy to get the attention.
Okay.
She had a sense of like, I am not better than you, but like, I'm here to guide you.
Oh.
And I hate that.
Yeah. I've had a hard time with classes like that as well. And I kind of forget about that because I live in my own little world. Mm-hmm. And I think because I am such an introvert and it was hard for me to step into the space of being a teacher because I didn't like the eyes on me. And what helped me open up was realizing it's not about me, it's about them and creating space for them. Yep. So I've just really dived into that. And there's been a couple times where I took a class where the teacher literally spoke about themselves the whole time. And I'm like, why was that class weird?
Yeah.
And she kept talking about how she felt in the posture the whole 60, 90 minute class.
That's weird.
I was like, okay, well, good for you.
Yeah. I think that's what makes you a master, is that you have set that intention for your classes, and you have, you know, you do it five times a week, six times a week. And so you're a master at that aspect of it. I mean, not to mention that your transitions are safe and you know what you're doing. And I mean, you're just an incredible teacher. But I'd say that's like my favorite thing about you personally.
I really appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did have a couple questions that I wanted to line up for you. Just plain and simple, why do you do yoga?
Gosh, that's a broad question it that really I can is. Answer so many different ways. I mean, for starters, my body has never felt as good in my life. I mean, I am 37, and I was talking to Corinne, someone else who started coming to your classes recently, who's a yoga teacher here in town. And she was like, man, I used to do hot yoga, and now that I'm a little bit older, the heat makes such a difference for me. Oh. And I thought that was she hadn't gone in 10 years, and she was, so she was able to have like a really easy comparison. I was like, oh, that's so interesting. So I do think that like I've never felt better doing anything. Like I've tried the gym, I've tried jogging, like all those things, but I just feel the best. Two, since I am a business owner and my time is so packed, it does just give me an hour that's for me, you know, five times a week. That's really important. Of like, I don't care what's happening. I signed up for it. I'm committed to it. I'm committing to me. And again, even if I take a freaking nap, it's for me. And that's a really lovely way for me to be selfish. And then lastly, I just love the community. I love seeing you, and I love you know, building. Like, it's such a gorgeous thing to go share this. Like, sometimes I'll just be in awe at the fact that 20 people will come into a room and do Shavasana together. Like, that's such a gorgeous thing to me.
I love it.
Me too. And I'm just like, oh, people that are like me. Like, it just makes you feel so at home. I feel really at home at Hollywood.
Oh, I love that. I do too. It's nice when you find your home studio space, which this podcast was born out of the pandemic because we didn't have a space for conversations like this. Because I love the conversations you have just rubbing shoulders with people in the lobby. I do want to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Well, I'm going to take it a little bit of a different direction. So yesterday in our class, I don't know how the heck this happened. I unrolled my towel and there's a ginormous, ginormous black widow in the center of my towel. And of course I was like mega freaked out and everyone else was freaked out. So like there was like probably five other people in the room cause I was really early and I was like freaking.
So people were in meditation. You unroll your towel.
And I'm like, oh my God, there's a black widow. And
so you announced it to the whole class.
100%. I wanted everyone to know that I was panicking. So I opened the door and it was a very smart black widow. It started heading towards the door, but it went in the crevice. And is it Heath?
Heath totally helped
me out, and like after a lot of commotion, like got it outside, not just in the door crease. But I was talking with one of the ladies afterwards who managed to meditate through this whole commotion. Like I was really impressed with her. And so I was at my scooter, she was walking out, and I was like, I'm really sorry for the commotion. She's like, first of all, I'm so impressed that you saw the Black Widow. She's like, what a lucky thing. You should go buy a lottery ticket today. And she's like, and second of all, I would have killed that thing. She's like, you're an incredibly compassionate person for keeping it alive. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh my gosh. I was also in a yoga class one time, and it was not a Black Widow. I would have totally panicked if it was a Black Widow. And it's like a packed class. I'm in the front row in front of the mirror, and I see a spider crawling towards me, and we're on our stomachs doing spine work. And it's crawling towards me, and I pick up my water bottle, and I just crush it.
No, you don't.
Then after class, the gentleman next to me, he said that that spider had crawled towards him, but he knew that the Christina was next to him, and it would be very un-yogi of him to kill a spider. So he let it pass him and come towards me. And so when he saw me just murder a spider in the sacred space that is yoga. He was really like perplexed and he was trying to come to grips with what had just happened.
That's a great
and
story.
I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. I am not a Buddhist. I am not a monk. And I'm sorry, I desecrated a living being in your sacred space of yoga.
That's a good story.
So I feel...
The expectations we have of others, huh?
That I know. He's so like, funny. Oh no, Christina's here. I can't do what I normally would do. And then he's like, oh my God, Christina just slaughtered this spider.
That is a great story. Yeah, I was really reflecting on it because I've had three encounters with black widows in the last week. I've got quite a few in my garden, and they're huge. And so I'm like, what is the black widow trying to teach me right now? Like,
oh,
like independent energy. I'm going to eat my mates. I'm not really sure. I'm really trying to meditate on it. But what's your opinion of that? What's the black widow trying to teach me?
Well, they have really strong maternal instincts, and they take care of others.
Really?
Well, based on my extensive studies and that movie Arachnophobia I watched once when I was 9, which terrified me.
I don't think those are black widows, but that's hilarious.
Well, aren't black widows famous for eating their mate to focus on having children?
Yes.
And so whoever you got to take down to take care of your babies, you got your goals and your priorities. So they're goal-oriented.
Goal-oriented, that's for sure. Okay.
So if I were to take a positive...
They're independent.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're badass bitches, that's for sure.
But then don't they die?
I think they last for 3 years. I looked it up.
Oh, good for you.
Because I have a bunny, and I'm like, if my bunny gets bitten by a black widow, she'll probably die. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've made a quarantine area for the black widow in my garden because I'm like, you can stay here. I honor your presence, but you ain't biting my little baby.
Does your yoga practice intersect with your work? Do you see any changes?
I mean, I definitely just have better energy during the day, more focus. I think that's kind of how self-care should go, is mm-hmm. that it feeds your life if you do it properly. And, you know, I will say it helps me process a lot. Like, I do feel like I get on that mat and I just release a whole bunch of, like, things holding me up.
It's therapy for me, 1,000%.
Yeah. So I process a lot. Like, if I'm experiencing a lot of grief or stress or whatever, again, because you make the space to, I definitely come to my mat as I am. And I'm very introspective. And so I'm like, where am I right now? Who am I right now? What does my body need right now? And I, you know, those heart openers, they get me.
What's your favorite heart opener?
I love camel pose.
Yes.
I love it.
I want to say it was after a yoga class you shared with me recently after the festival that you had maybe had a, like an impulse reaction at work. And after yoga, you're like, I need to contact this coworker of mine and reassess that impulse reaction.
Yep.
And I thought that was just so beautiful of you, especially considering your position in your company that you run and own.
Well, let's be honest, yoga keeps you humble. That's one of the things I love about yoga. Like, I feel like you're never, I mean, this sounds terrible, but you're never going to be a true master, like a true yogi, you know, like in the Eastern, because they do they do one pose for hours a day.
Yep.
And so I love that I learn something new every single class. And you know, you and I talked about sequences and the repetition of it. And mm-hmm. I think there's so much beauty in that because I get the opportunity to witness my own growth through the sequences and mm-hmm. by doing the same postures every single week and my body having that muscle memory. And so I don't just lean into it. I really, really listen to you and see if I can pick up on different cues of how to do the posture better, stronger, you know. And so I love that it keeps me humble because I know I always have something to learn, and I definitely apply that to my work.
I love that for yoga. We do need to wrap it up here, but I did tell you I had a story for you.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with yoga. This has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about. But when we walked into this podcast recording studio, you said you had just gone to District Coffee.
Yeah.
And so right before we hit the record button, I was like, I got a story for you. This is probably silly, but I go to District Coffee periodically with a friend of mine who visits. And he was like, hey, I'm in town. Let's go to District. We'll get our thing. And I had ordered a was it a matcha? I think I ordered like a matcha or something. And they're like, it's going to take a while. The matcha, blah, 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 whatever. And they called my name. And I was like, oh, is this the matcha? And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They were super busy. And so I go and sit down. I'm like, wow, this matcha tastes terrible. It just tastes like espresso. But I was like, weird, whatever. And then so I'm drinking it. And we're continuing to talk. And there's someone standing up where they drop off the drinks to pick up, and they've been standing there for a while, and then the lady comes over and she's like, we got a matcha, whose matcha is this? And I was like, oh my gosh, I took the wrong drink, but they were in a hurry, they didn't know. And I had a meltdown at this coffee shop because I felt bad for taking someone's coffee. And it was like every couple minutes they kept yelling, who has the matcha, who has the matcha? And I looked at Zach, my friend, and I was like, we got to get out of here, I can't do this. And so when he would come back to town to visit, he'd be like, let's go to district. I'm like, I don't know if I can go in there. So I stopped ordering the matcha and just ordered like a regular Americano. Because I was like too scared to order a matcha.
Okay, I think we need a healing moment, and you and I are going to go to the district sometime. I'm going to be beside you. Wait, we're gonna heal that trauma together. That's a great story.
He makes fun of me every time we go there. He's like, "What'd you order? Is that your coffee?" Oh my gosh, I love the district. That's a
great story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you all, Janessa. I adore you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your yoga experience, your yoga journey, and saving that sweet Black Widow's life.
I sure did.
All right, bye guys.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.